Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. This is a special episode, being it is the first episode of the Yallo Young Adult Life Orientation Series, brought to you by Women of Africa Care, as well as the awesome youth that will be part of today's episode and future ones. Thank you once again to Gospel for Grampian for sponsoring and giving the Yallo program a platform to inspire and inform discussions around youth and the transition to adulthood. Women of Africa Care offers youth empowerment through their Friends program, where it has adopted the HAS principle, H-A-S, in creating an enabling environment for Generation Z and beyond to progress in life. HAS, H-A-S, H as in hear to listen, A act to apply, and S share the experience as in becoming change agents for your peers. On air today, our air crew, Annalene, Michelle, and Sershni. Please introduce yourself, ladies, as well as a single fun fact about yourself.
Hello, awesome Gospel for Grampian listeners, and thank you so much for introducing us. My name is Annalene, but everyone calls me Annie, and a fun fact about me is I like hobbies, but I like trying new hobbies, so I can kind of paint, and I can kind of draw, and I can kind of play guitar, and I can kind of write blogs. But I like artsy things, and I can even make flowers and frames, but that is like a fun fact of me. I like trying new things, and I like trying new hobbies and kind of DIY things. Awesome.
Hello, everyone, listeners. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm Michelle. A fun fact about me, I love animals. I'm in the beauty industry. I love to do nails. I specialize in bridal makeup. And yeah, that's me.
Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. My name is Sershni Phillips. And fun fact about me is that I love pink. Like, I totally love pink. And, well, of course, I do love baking too. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalene, Michelle, and Sershni. Happy to have you all on. So, the topic for today's episode is what would you do differently or how would you think differently if God gave you the chance to be 15 years old again, but you keep all the knowledge and experience you have obtained and apply that? Now, ladies, just to give you an idea of how maybe you should answer these questions, is be open as much as you want with your personal stories and examples, but try to avoid using people's real names if you were going to. So, for the first question, how would you view and interact with your different relationships, being family, friends, and dating? Annalie, take it away.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I actually thought about this a lot, and I tried to rewind to when I was 15 years old, which wasn't that far ago. But honestly, I think the way I would treat relationship differently is I remember when I was 15, there was a lot of pressure from school, from family, from friends, and all of the spoken pressures, but a lot more unspoken pressures. And when it came to relationships or families or friendships, it was so easy to get lost in the friendship or even, let's say, the people-pleasing space. That is a space I struggled with a lot. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to basically have personal boundaries that are healthy, because I just wanted people to like me. And because I didn't know who I was, I would find myself trying to find identity in relationships. So to answer the question, what would I do differently with regards to relationships, I would first of all actually be okay with realizing that not everyone is going to like me, especially when it comes to friends, and also not to get lost in it. So I learned a trick to loving people, and loving people isn't really dependent on what they do wrong or right or how they are able to serve you, but your capacity to love is actually determined on how much you let God love you. A lot of the times we have godly expectations on people. Like, if even I remember, how do you describe a good friend or a good mom or a good dad or even a good teacher? You'll say things like, oh, a good friend is loving. They're always there for me. If you have Christian friends and you speak Christianese, you'll say, oh, they always pray for me. They always tell me about Jesus. And we have these standards on people that aren't actually realistic. A person can't always be there for you, yet you have the desire for someone to always be there for you. That is kind of your heart already crying out to God. God is the person who will unconditionally love you, unconditionally be there for you, and can be there for you 24/7 because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have 24/7 access. Even if we think of romantic relationships, as a 15-year-old, I would not put so much pressure on myself. I remember when I was 15, there was this whole pressure of, do I have a boyfriend or not? Like, who's the next guy I like? We used to put letters of the guy you like on your hand, and I ended up putting up a cross because I was like, who do I like? And then you start questioning yourself, like, oh, I don't like a guy. A guy doesn't like me. Maybe I'm lesbian. And that is the thoughts that go through your head, these dark thoughts, and then you end up condemning yourself because of it as well. So what I would literally do is be okay with not dating until the right time, trusting God with my relationships, and in the end, putting Him as the only relationship I need. When you do that, you take away the unspoken expectations, and you don't get disappointed, and you actually get surprised because you don't see them as, what can I get from you? You see them as, oh, okay, they're a friend, they're a dad, and if they mess up, that's okay, because my resource where I get unconditional affirmation is from God and nowhere else. Whole scripture that speaks on, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And it continues, it says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears of for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The fact that Paul says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, that certainty, that is the foundation you start with any other relationship. Your first closest relationship, the most important one, is your one with God. And from that will flow other healthy relationships. And I think that's me. Thank you, guys.
Michelle.
Thank you so much. This is such a heartfelt topic for me. Yeah, 17 years later, things has changed so much. I see and hear about so many bad behaviors, relationships going wrong, and bullies, girls getting heartbroken. I was 15 years old. I wasn't really aware of all of these things. We went to school. We were so innocent. We did our sports. We had friends. We weren't really aware of social media and all the things that, or the pressure. I came from a very small town, so it was very, I think I grew up very privileged. I grew up with very strict parents, so it made things a bit difficult for me, you know. But I would say put God first. When I was 15, I met God for the first time. I gave my heart to God, and it was a really nice journey. I would say about 6 months in, I met a guy, and I had to make the choice if I should date him or not. And with all my friends and the pressure and all of that, we weren't always really sure what to do, what choices to make. And thank goodness he also came out of a very well house. So, the pressure, I might say, from friends are extremely hard. I think I dated him because of my friends. They said I should really go for it. But, he was also into the gospel. He actually taught me a lot. So if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have known God today that much. So I would definitely say if you would date someone that benefits you, that helps you rise and do well in what you do. I want to read you a verse in Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And 1 John 4, but you belong to God, my children. So I just want to say, even though you date, have friends, wherever you are, whatever you do, always just remember that the only person that can be with you and give you that type of love is God. So always put Him first, and never put yourself third or fourth and feel bad about what your friends want you to do or say or date or all of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Sershni?
Thank you so much for the question, Darshan. As a 15-year-old, I know that there are a lot of challenges. There's temptations and peer pressure that we are surrounded by. And as individuals, we want to feel important, loved, and feel like we belong. These are some of the reasons why we end up joining the wrong company and even start dating. We get involved and do things that we do not necessarily want to do or get involved in, but we do it in any case just to sort of fit in, to feel loved, to feel worthy, and feel like we belong. We do things such as getting involved in gangs, alcohol, drugs, partying, and even having sex before marriage. And we do not realize what we are getting ourselves into. We do not realize and understand the loophole that we are giving Satan control over us. Example, alcohol and drug abuse. Those are things that open the door of strongholds in our life. And let's have a look at sex before marriage. Well, that creates soul ties, which is horrible and disturbing. So as a 15-year-old today, I will pray for my family, friends, and future courtship partner. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, in the NIV translation, perfume and incense bring joy to the Lord, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. This speaks about sweet friendships, refresh the soul, and awakens our heart with joy. For good friends are like the anointing oil that yields the fragrant incense of God's presence. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, the family that prays together stays together. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you for the awesome responses in that first question. Now let's move on to the second question. What emphasis would you put on your work ethic and skills that lead you towards having a career or your own business and the money surrounding that? Anneli?
Wow. At 15 years of age. I think as much as it is important to have a career choice and to focus on that, at 15 years of age, you are still uncertain about who you are and where you're going. And the more pressure you feel to know what you want to do, where you want to go, and you start to limit yourself to the basic options. Like here in SA, the basic options are become a bachelor's degree or a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer or those top, maybe top 5 or 10 things that you can become. And you feel so much pressure for having to know what you need to do that you actually just stick with one that you know instead of exploring what other ways there are to start a business or get employed. There are so many different options, so many different ways to actually provide for oneself, especially when with regards to social media. I'm not saying social media is the best thing, but I'm saying there's so many small businesses. And I would say on 15 years of age, you have space to explore, space to look what other job opportunities is there? What do I like? What don't I like? And asking those questions instead of getting wrapped up in all the pressure. And I would say involve God. The amazing thing about God is he does not leave you alone to do this journey alone. When you ask him and you ask questions like, Lord, I don't actually know where to go. Give me an opportunity. Give me a space or a place to go. And then Another thing that helps a lot is when I was 15, at the end of 2015, that's when I was 15, ironically. I'll never forget my age. So at the end of 2015, I remember I was in a church, but then I joined a church where I found home, where I found family, and where I found community. And within the community, it was a safe space to ask questions, to meet different people, see the different things they do. And it's so important to have the right community. So if there's one thing I would say as a 15-year-old, even trying to figure out what your career choice is, just go to God with it and go to your fellow Christian communities. Don't be scared to go to an older adult and ask them, what do they do or what advice do they have? I think that's what I would do now. I would ask different people of their different experiences and different ways maybe God has led them to a specific place, and not to put that pressure on, I need to know what I want to do now. I need to know what I need to do as soon as I get out of matric or out of school. It is okay not to know yet, but it is good to involve God in it. God, show me what I like. Show me what I'm called for. Show me what you have called me for. Because there was this amazing quote I heard from a friend. They said, find out what you love and then make money from that. You want to do something that you're going to love, that you feel like I was born for this, whether it's doing different things. I don't think Instagram influencers are that bad. I think if you are being an Instagram influencer for Jesus, then that's amazing. Just don't get lost in the likes. Don't lose yourself in the pursuit of money or fame, but lose yourself in how much Jesus loves you and his identity. Because he's, in the end, he's created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Michelle?
I would go for do what you love, and your passion is always something to do, even if you only have hobbies, or try everything out. If you don't know what to do or where you want to go, I mean, when you're 15 years old, I didn't even know what to study or what I want to become. So just follow your passion. I would say take a gap year, start a waiter job, or work on wedding venues. I used to work on wedding venues. I used to ask around and do some admin. I used to do everything I could just to figure out what I would do, what I would love to do as a job. So I would say ask God to guide you. Don't think about money. If you follow your dreams, you will do good and obviously be very successful in what you do. I studied for a vet after my gap year, and today I do nails and makeup. And it's really my passion. It doesn't feel like I work a day in my life. I love working with people. And I always said that I never want to work with people. People were always so nasty to me in school. And today I actually love working with people, and every day I can't wait just to see my clients and talk to them and share with them what God did with me and in my life. So I would definitely say take a gap year, do a little bit of work here and there, see what you love to do before you decide what career you would love to take on, because, I mean, it's for the rest of your life. Follow God and I promise you will be successful. Thank you.
Sershni?
Thank you so much, Darshan. As a 15-year-old, I will say, commit all things to God. Have a humble attitude, because ultimately, attitude determines our altitude. Furthermore, willingness to be corrected and work as if it is unto God. Lastly, have a mentality of continuous personal development. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Isn't that amazing? Let's have a look at another verse in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32 says, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wow. And lastly, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle, Anneli, Sershni. Yeah, I would say even from my perspective that growing up and trying to figure out what you do want to do with your life and your career, it's quite an intimidating thing. And even to this day, I'm still trying to figure out where exactly God wants to position me as, where is where I want to go. And the unfortunate part is that we allow social media and people on social media to have some of an influence over us, where we're seeing like, oh, I'm a millionaire at 21 or so and so, and can negatively impact us and get into our heads and maybe even pressurize us to do things or participate in things that maybe we would not have done, but due to social pressures or pressure on ourselves, we end up going into those things. Yeah. So for the third question, what practices would you do to positively help you in terms of self-care, physically, spiritually, and emotionally? Anneli?
Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Wow, those are actually three important aspects. I think we forget that we are three parts, which is definitely includes the physical, the spiritual, and emotional. Three practical things I think I would do for the physical part is actually focus more on eating healthy. But it's actually make it fun. So there's so many Instagram profiles and stuff about eating healthy, but there's this one girl where she gives you good tips on how to replace daily things and also not to be too scared to replace daily things. I also think we need at 15, you don't value yourself in the way of, hey, this is bad for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. So my first mind shift would be like, hey, I am important. It is important to look after myself, and using that as a motivation, like, hey, why do I exercise, or maybe do a sport at school, or maybe there's a lot of out of school curriculums and stuff you can do, or even you can do home exercises. Nike has a home exercise app. There's so many different things you could do, but prioritizing healthy eating and some exercise plus a good amount of sleep, like you were made to sleep with a good amount. Don't sleep the whole day. I'm not saying don't go tell your parents you can go sleep the whole day. The Christian podcast said so. That's not what I mean. I'm saying is prioritize those things because you are valuable. The Bible says we are his temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So when it comes to physically, it is important to make sure you eat well and you sleep well and you exercise well. When it comes to spiritually and emotionally, I would continue to do what the Bible tells us to do, to go to church. Community is important. In Romans 10 verse 17 in the NLT, it says, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. And it's so important that, because sometimes, especially when you're 15, you feel like you don't have enough faith for things. You feel like you're faithless. But the Bible says it's as easy as hearing the good news about Christ. And where are you going to hear it if you don't listen to it? The church is such an amazing community and place to grow. I think that will help with spiritual, with your spirit, and just feeding your spirit with the good news of the gospel. And I think sometimes we feel like we're too imperfect, or we make many mistakes at church, especially as a teenager. But a church isn't a place for perfect people. A church is actually full of imperfect people. You find sick people at a hospital. I think you should expect to find sinners at a church. But don't expect to stay the same. God meets you where you're at, but he doesn't leave you where you're at. And the church is there. You do certain things at church, like you worship, you hear the word. If there's a youth group you can go, because you can have fun and hear more about Jesus. But continue to do that. If there's one consistent thing you have in your life, go to church on a Sunday. It's 1 hour out of your week. If that's one constant thing that's going to help you with your spiritual growth, it's going to be that. And then the last thing, emotionally. I think emotions can be very tricky. And I would say have grace for yourself. When it comes to emotions, you can feel that emotion in that moment, but don't make the emotion your identity. Just because you got angry or you lost your temper or you got jealous or you got sad does not mean you're a sad person. God created your emotions. Don't allow your emotions to define you. And then I think it is important to look at why you react a certain way. One thing I do now, I needed to do when I was 15, is journal. And journal not in a way of, okay, cool, I'm gonna write down all my secrets and complaints and what I want and what I don't want and who I like and who I don't like. I mean, journal with God. Actually write down this, I felt this way today. Lord, why? And God actually starts to show you. He shows you the things. Oh, the reason you got angry is because that person told you you didn't do that right. The reason that upset you is because you didn't feel good enough. And actually, you have a root of you don't think you're good enough. And then God starts to pour out his love on you. So I think those are the three practical things I would say as a 15-year-old when it comes to physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And then having just a lot of grace for yourself. We are all growing. There, it is okay to make mistakes. God is there not to condemn us when we make mistakes, but to help us improve from the mistakes. He doesn't want us to run from him, but actually to run to him. And yeah, I think that's me. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Annalene, Michelle.
Yeah, I think as a teenager, you have so many pressure. So I would definitely say take care of yourself 100%. Don't pressure yourself. But like Annie said, it's definitely practical things to do, spiritual, emotional, and physical. So I would start with, if I would say physical, when you're 15, say, for instance, if you're overweight and you don't like to run or go for a jog or go to the gym, you could go for a swim. It really clears out your mind, you know. Take your dog for a run if you have to. Just get out of the house, walk around the house, sit in the garden for a bit. Don't be on your phone. Just think about yourself and owe that 5 minutes to yourself. Emotional, I would definitely say I like to talk to people, so I would say definitely talk to someone you love, open up towards someone you trust, go to church. If I don't go to church on a Sunday, I feel so empty for the next week that I literally can't wait for the following Sunday just to get out and get back into church. I think to be 15 years old is quite an emotional roller coaster itself. I don't think you know really where you belong, what to do, where you want to go. But I would definitely say talk to people, take a nap, put yourself in a routine, have a routine, decide at night what you want to do tomorrow, be easy on yourself. Definitely spiritual, I would say pray, pray, pray. Fasting is very important for me. It definitely aligns you with God so that you know where you're going and what you need. Once again, go to church on a Sunday, join groups in the week. You can do Bible study by yourself. So, yeah, I would definitely say spiritual, emotional, and physical. You can do all three, but you definitely need to put God in your self, in your being, in your life every single day. Thank you.
Sershni?
The practices I would do to positively help me as a 15-year-old in terms of self-care physically would be to definitely eat healthier and exercise. Oh, and not to mention to drink lots and lots of water, or should I say enough water? Because when we do this, we have a healthier body. And when we have a healthy body, we have a healthy mind. So, further to that, I will also take care of my skin better by using certain oils, which is really good. Having a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says, "Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in us, whom we have from God, and we are not our own. For we were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Wow. Then emotionally, I will invest time and use tools such as YouTube videos to gain more knowledge and understanding on emotional intelligence. And last but not least, my favorite, spiritually. I will most definitely pray in the spirit. I would pray in tongues for at least an hour every day. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself, prays for us. Wow, isn't that just amazing? That is just amazing. Moving on, secondly, I would use the authority that Christ has given us. As it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And lastly, I would say, put on the whole armor of God. According to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And last but not least, I think I will definitely meditate on the following scriptures, which is really close to my heart, and that is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. A second scripture is James chapter 4, verse 8, which says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the one thing I missed was putting mentally, because if we see these days quite drastically, one of the main issues globally is mental health, right? Gen Z and even people who are of the previous generation are somewhat bringing to light this very real problem of mental health issues and trying to deal with it and finding different forms of dealing with it. And we know that there's always solutions in the Word. And so God didn't bring us to be in this shriveled up corner, unable to do things. When you hear stories of Gen Z youth unable to do things like tally up money to give to people at the till, or they have very bad social interactions with other people. And so these things are definitely important, and you should build when you're going through your ages of 15 and growing up, is that engaging with other people, as Annalena and Michelle said, engaging with other people, maybe getting into a sports group and building up that social interaction and that confidence, so that when you are dealing with people outside of school and in the working world, the real world, that you have that confidence as well as the grace from God to deal with people who are either very nice to you or very difficult to you. Yeah, so for the fourth question, what habits would you encourage and what habits would you discourage for yourself? Annalene?
I think what habits I would encourage, I think I did this as a teenager and I think I would do it again because it helped me so much. I kept on listening to messages about God's love over and over and over. I think one thing that's very prevalent in today's world is consumerism. And honestly, God gave us two ears and two eyes and only one mouth. So I think in a way we are meant to consume, and not the whole time consume, because then you don't want to be Yeah, I'm spiritually fat. I'm kidding. But what you consume and what you see and what you hear most often, that is what you'll speak and that's what you'll start to believe. And I think one thing that helped me a lot when I was 15 is our church had an app, and I would every morning when I wake up, the first thing I would do to wake up, because I struggled to wake up and I still kind of do, is I would go onto the app, I would play the sermon, and the sermon would actually play in the background while I'm getting ready for school. And what would end up happening is, because I would listen to one message over and over in a week, and even though it was very hard for me to read my Bible, especially in the beginning, because I didn't understand context and translations, I ended up memorizing verses because of the sermons. I ended up memorizing different scriptures, different stuff, not because I didn't open my Bible or didn't want to, but because I kept on hearing it. That there was one thing I kept on hearing, kept on listening to, was God's love for me. And even when we come to mental health and even sowing into that, the social anxiety we have, you have social anxiety because we get insecure in who we are and we get so scared of what other people think of us. But the moment you're secure in who you are and you keep on hearing, you know what, I'm loved. I'm favored by God. God has got me. You honestly start releasing that people pleasing, I almost want to say, spirit, and you start becoming okay with just being yourself, even though people will, even if people accept or reject you. And here's a fun fact, guys. People and teenagers, especially us 15-year-olds, we can spot fakeness from a mile away. So when you end up being yourself, people automatically are drawn to you and start to like you. And I'm not saying that as a everyone is going to like you. What I'm saying is, when we start being okay with being ourselves, other people also start being okay with being in who they today are. So habits I would encourage is to keep on listening to the word. If I'm going to listen or look at anything, it's going to be about Jesus, going to be about God. And also maybe to start getting into habit, even if I read one scripture verse a day, a verse that speaks to me, because there can be so much in just one verse. My go-to verse since I was 15 was Proverbs 3 verse 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." And every time I went through something, that verse would pop up. That would be the one verse that says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart." When things seemed uncertain, when friends were angry at me because I had boundaries, I would tell them no because I didn't want to do the things they did. They would get angry or they would actually ostracize me. All I would hear is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And instead of nagging them for forgiveness for something that wasn't actually a bad thing for me to do, I would let them go and let God. I would be like, "You know what, Jesus, if that is not a good friend to have, that's cool." A habit I would not encourage is getting into the habit of being busy with electronics 24/7. Like, hear me out. I'm not this anti-electronic internet, no Instagram, Facebook person. I'm definitely not that. I believe technology can be used for God's good and to grow God's kingdom, as we're doing now. I mean, we're on a podcast recording on a laptop. I believe technology can be used to spread the gospel much further than it ever could. But what is not healthy is when you start to train your brain to be entertained 24/7 and to be entertained with short videos. So I don't think I would encourage having so much screen time, being constantly busy with a device. Like, say you go to school and maybe you weren't allowed to be on your phone, come back and don't go immediately on your phone, but take a breath, go sit outside, sit in your room, breathe, look around and just chill. It is okay to chill. And then what will start happening is, number one, your eyesight will be better because blue light is a thing, unless you have blue light glasses. But yeah, I think that is a habit I would kind of discourage, is don't be so wrapped up in electronics. You don't know how to look at the air and look at the birds. I mean, even the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink." And even further in the verse, it says, "Look at the birds of the air." Start to appreciate what God has made and you will feel more peace. And yeah, I think those are the two things for me.
Thank you, Annalene. Michelle?
Yeah, Annie, I can definitely say the questions are definitely rolling in. I would definitely encourage people to look at themselves, look at yourself, decide what you want to be. I would encourage you to be the best version of yourself. Read your Bible, go for a walk, go for a run, clean your head out, be easy on yourself. Every morning when I wake up, at 6 a.m., I would put on gospel music on YouTube and the whole house would listen to it with me. And I just keep on playing it through the whole day. And that really determines if I wake up in a bad mood, then gospel music puts me in a better mood. I would definitely encourage you to read your Bible, praise and worship, join a church group, talk to your friends and your family, love yourself, do everything that positively benefits you to be the best version of yourself. You can start tomorrow. You can start being the better you from tomorrow. That's if you feel the need to change. To discourage, stay away from bad habits. We tend to fall into bad habits very, very quickly. Bad habits, groups, alcohol, peer pressure, abuse, sex, drugs, all of those things are bad habits. I would definitely encourage you to stay away from all of those. Don't go there. Rather stay positive, stay focused, focus on yourself. Don't fall for negativity or friends that pressure you. If you know it's wrong, just turn away and don't do it. They're obviously going to be upset with you and they're not going to like what you're doing. But I promise you, in God's favor, it will be the best for you and definitely benefit you. Have stability, focus on God, and try to bring your friends to your church groups and turn the tables around and let them come with you for the better. Don't turn to them for the worse. So a verse that I also like a lot is in Matthew 11, verse 28, that says, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find the rest for your souls." So if you struggle and you don't know what to do, just go on your knees and pray. And like God said, you will find rest for your soul in God. Thank you.
Sershni?
Habits that I will encourage. Number one on my list would definitely be to obey our parents and respect our parents. I think that is vitally important. Furthermore, praying in tongues. I think it's extremely important to pray more in tongues so that our spirit can be in line with God's spirit. Then use the authority that Christ has given us on this earth to take authority over Satan. And attend Bible study clubs to understand the Bible better. Build a strong mindset, because it's very important to have a strong mindset. And then follow the voice of God. To train ourselves to hear and follow the voice of God. I would also encourage surrounding ourselves with vision-minded people, setting boundaries, and having a balanced life. I think those are quite important. Habits that I will discourage. I would discourage spending long hours on social media. Substance abuse such as alcohol and drugs. I would discourage surrounding ourselves with a group which is a bad influence. And I would discourage sex before marriage. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I can say that from my time when it came to things like Christianity, I would, instead of playing seminars or music, Christian music in the morning, I'd be listening to my own worldly music for the start of the day, and I'd probably be only engaging in church and such, so on and so forth, on a Sunday or a Saturday night. So I think my bit of advice would be that don't make it just a religious act. Make it a lifestyle. You know, if you're going to get into something, for example, like exercising, make it a lifestyle. You know, maybe you don't want to be, for example, that athletic superstar or that massive bodybuilder. You can still do small things like we've been saying, taking a walk for physical exercises or other things that you can have as a lifestyle, which then become good habits. And then in terms of bad habits, not putting yourself in, knowing your triggers, what triggers you, those bad habits. If you know that hanging out with certain friends triggers those bad habits, then don't hang out with them. If you know that when you come home, when you, you know, come home from school or work or so on and so forth, that you go straight to the TV, then maybe change the position of where the TV is, or just avoid that room, or, you know, whatever you decide. Give yourself that space and that ability to encourage those habits that you want and discourage those habits, because it does take 21 days to form those habits. And once you start doing it, it ends up becoming automatic. So it can work both ways, for good and bad. Aircrew, come to the final question, which is, with this new advantage on having a more experienced perspective on life, what is one thing you would impart on other 15-year-olds from your personal experience? Annelien?
I think if I'm going to run to anything, I'm going to run to God. I think when the pressures of life hit, when friends bully you, when guys break up with you, when your parents are disappointed with you, when you feel like your whole world is crumbling down, if there's one place you can run to, no matter what, it's to God, it's to Jesus. Psalm 91 is full of how David speaks on how God is his refuge. And David wasn't the perfect person. When you read his Psalms, I read it and sometimes I think David is a bit bipolar, because he starts with, oh, woe is me, and he ends with, praise God. And the reality is, no one is perfect. To live this Christian life does not mean it's a set of rules of do's and don'ts, and you get punished as soon as you don't do something, and you get rewarded when you do something. I mean, Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment away. Christianity has never been designed to be religion in the definition we have today. It was always designed to be a relationship. Jesus dying at the cross, he actually died for intimacy. The only thing that separated us from God was sin, and he took that away. So that means nothing no longer separates you from God. So that means you can run to him. You don't have to run away from him. Even if there's times where you feel like God is against you or you're mad at God, go to God. There is space to go with him. He's not going to run away. He's not scared of your mistakes. He's not scared of your thoughts. He's not scared of, like, I think this darkness, because we all feel like we have a dark side, honestly. He's not scared of that. He is the light. He's there to help you. He is there not just as a resource, but the source. Even if you look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it's called the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, peace, patience, kindness, all of that. If you don't have it, then you can go get it from God. God teaches you that. He gives you those fruits. He has what you lack. So if you're going to run to anything, run to God, run to Jesus and trust him, and just let him be the pillar and the anchor that you stand on whenever the storms of life come, because you're going to learn how to soar above the storm. And yeah, that's me.
Thank you. Michelle?
Yeah, I would definitely say identity is a big thing. I think your identity is who you are. What you decide to do is who you will be tomorrow. Your identity is God. So it doesn't matter what other people say. Leave who you were behind. Start a new day. Start a beautiful journey God destined for you. Turn to God. Have balance. I mean, to have balance is the most important thing in life. Things will and can go wrong. Life is not perfect, and you need to understand that. You can have a balanced life. be who you are destined to be. Trust yourself. Trust God. Things aren't easy, but at the end of the day, if you had a terrible day, go home, be in your room, play your gospel music, or just lie in the quietness and listen to yourself, to your heart, to your feelings. Pray, open the Bible. So I would definitely say turn to God and have a balanced life. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Sershni?
I would like to encourage other 15-year-olds to train yourselves to be aware of Satan's tactics. But how do we actually go about doing that, you may ask? Well, the war against Satan is a spiritual one, and its battlefield is the mind. So controlling our thoughts allows us to control our actions. And secondly, because this is a spiritual war, we need to fight this battle spiritually. And the only other way we can do this is through reading the Word of God, praying in tongues. That is what we need to learn to do. Furthermore, Satan will try to creep into our mind and fill our mind with lies, doubts, fears, feelings of unworthiness, etc., about ourselves and others. But the ultimate weapon to fight against Satan is the Word of God, just like Jesus did when he was tempted. Jesus used the word on Satan. That was all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I would say that at my ripe old age of 23 to my 15-year-old self, that I've come to learn that things happen quite slow when you're younger, and as you somewhat become an adult, whether that is determined at 18 or 21, is that things happen fast. Next minute you're a kid, and next minute you are not. And so being able to understand that you should rather play a role of being a servant and wanting to serve others, because one is it not only helps you to be happier in your life, but it also allows you to be more open and have a bit more peace when it comes to dealing with life and people. And just having God's grace coupled with that just makes everything you do a lot more wholesome, as well as enjoyable in everything you do. And even when the tough times do come, that it's not going to be as tough, that you're going to have that support, you're going to have that love. And so that's just something I would say, or my knowledge and experience I would impart on my 15-year-old self. Thank you, Aircrew, for answering these questions and sharing your personal experiences. To link the principle of HAZ, as we mentioned earlier here at Speak, with this whole conversation, I would probably go as follows here. It means what people have grown up with from their experience as children to what people engage with on a daily basis sets their habits and the direction they will go in, right? And act pursuing as well as not pursuing the opportunities that presents itself to people can have an impact on how far they will go, or not even having been in the race at all. Finally, when it comes to speak, every single person on this planet is a storyteller, and it happens in many shapes and forms. So sharing your experiences not only helps a person progress, but helps others in their journey through life, just like what these ladies have done and said today. To conclude this first episode, we will at the end be enjoying some music by the amazing artist/singer Sammy Pitzel. And I just want to say, listeners, thank you once again for listening and to tune in every week at 10 a.m. Sunday morning and 10 p.m. Monday evenings on Gospel for Grampian and listen to 59 minutes of Yalla on Air as well as on Podbean and view the podcast on YouTube, in which you can subscribe to Women of Africa Care and listen to the YouTube podcasts or Gospel for Grampian on Podbean anytime. Thank you.
Bigger than a universe, you're bigger than the sun and the stars, you're bigger than the things, oh, that could tear me apart. You're bigger than a universe, you're bigger than the sun and the stars, you're bigger than the things, oh my, that could tear me apart. For I know you created all the earth. For I know you created all the earth. You're bigger. You're bigger than the problems I face. You're bigger than the disasters I've seen. You're bigger, you're so much bigger, Jesus, than what this life may bring. Oh Lord, yeah, you're bigger than the universe. Yes, you are. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, bigger than the things that could tear me apart. You're great. Sing, for I know. You're so great. You're so great. Bigger, you're bigger, Jesus, bigger than anything I've seen, bigger, bigger, yeah, yeah, you're bigger, yes you are, you're bigger, Jesus, you're bigger than any marital problem, you're bigger than any broken home, Lord. You're bigger than life, Jesus. You're even bigger than negativity. Oh, you're bigger, yes you are. Oh, you're bigger. Bigger than HIV. Bigger than cancer, Jesus. You're bigger than diabetes. The stripes on your back makes you bigger. The stripes on your back, they make you bigger. They make you bigger. Your blood makes you bigger. Your love makes you bigger. You overcame death, and that makes you bigger. That makes you bigger. Hey, say, you're bigger, yes, you are, Lord.